All right, praise the Lord. It is the 8th of January, 2017, and we're still in the book of John, chapter 5. But before we get into that, I wanted to talk a little bit about Brother Marvin's teaching about the fall feast. No, we talked about that the week before. Last week was a general talk about the church, right? And so that wasn't a specific teaching. Can anybody remember anything from it? Things that might have stuck out in your mind? Home fellowship, that kind of idea. What does that mean and how should we be doing it? Some general concepts that might have... Nothing, okay. That's not good. Huh?
I'm thinking.
That's fine. You're welcome to think. I'm thinking too, so... One of the things that I remember, and of course this sticks close in my mind and heart because we're trying to in our own understanding, figure out what does church mean. And, well, we know it's the body of Christ. Who is the head of the body of Christ? Who is the head of the body of Christ?
Jesus.
And the body of Christ is the church. And we have Bible passages about living stones being fitted together. Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone. The apostles, the word of God, is the foundation of the church. And it's a spiritual temple not made by the hands of men. So if you think about it, then it's not a building you go into. And so if it's not a building you go into, then it's not an association or particular denomination that you would be part of. The thing about denominators is it's a divisive function. And the body of Christ is not supposed to be chopped up in little parts. But it does have parts. It has differing parts. So, of the body or of the building. You know. And how important what we believe home fellowship is to be not part of the apostate church, which is the visible church, Roman Catholic Church, the Protestant churches, and I'm not saying you couldn't have a believer in a particular denomination, but that true believers will seek true fellowship. That's holiness, Bible study, prayer, the communion, all these types of things, worship, yeah. I suppose you think you're in charge. Nope. Anyway, so those are all concepts about church or the fellowship that we want to consider. One last thing, that is a fellowship will grow to a certain point where it needs to naturally divide. The book of Acts talked about meeting in church or in houses, from house to house, home to home. And so after a certain group of people got big enough, they would naturally and lovingly have to split and start meeting in different homes. Makes sense. And thereby the body of Christ has grown. Okay, so on to this week's teaching, John chapter 5. Open your Bibles with me, please. And if you're taking notes, which I encourage you to do, there will be three parts of this particular teaching. The first part is called Resurrection of Life or Damnation. The Resurrection of Life or Death. Part 1. And that's verses 25 to 47. The second part is pointing to self or the Father. And that's verses 30 to 43. And the third part is receiving honor from men, verses 41 to 47. And if I need to go over that again, I can't. Let me just go through that slowly again. We'll start with part 2, pointing to self or to the Father. That's verses 30 to 43. Verses 30 to 43 is part 2. Part 3 is receiving honor from men, and that's verses 41 to 47. the whole of this volume, which is volume 11 of the series in John chapter 5, covers verses 25 to 47. So as I was saying, what I want to do a little bit differently today than what I normally do is I wanted to take each section. Normally I'll read the whole thing, but today I'm just going to read the section that applies, and we'll have a little bit of discussion about it, related scriptures, and then go on to the next section. I think that'll keep things more on track, I hope. Okay, so John chapter 5, verses 25 to 47. Joshua, if you would read that nice and loud and clear, please. John chapter 5, verses 25 to, excuse me, 25 to 47, no, it would be 25 to 39, 29, excuse me, not 47.
25 to 29?
Yes, sir, sorry.
All right. Most assuredly I say to you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who will hear will live. For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son to have life in himself, and has given him authority to execute judgment, also because he is the Son of Man. Do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear his voice and come forth, those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation.
Well, praise the Lord. This is really what we're looking forward to, because we all know, naturally speaking, even the atheist knows that we're going to die. We're going into the grave. Jesus said if the seed is not planted, it cannot bring forth life. So we are in seed casings right now. This body is going to die. Don't know when it's going to die, don't know how it's going to die, but surely it's going to the grave. And that shouldn't bother us as Christians. It should not bother us at all, because we have such a great assurance in Christ Jesus. Amen. That he's going to resurrect us under righteousness and life, versus those people who don't believe Jesus and don't believe his instruction and haven't been born again of the Holy Spirit and are not obeying his commands, they will receive the resurrection of damnation. That's the point of this section. Resurrection to eternity and life, or resurrection to eternity and condemnation. And a very serious thing. So Isaiah chapter 26, verse 19 to 20. I'll give you these sets of verses. The first one is Isaiah 26, 19 to 21. The next verse is 1 Corinthians 15, verses 47 to 58. Daniel chapter 12, verses 2 to 3. Matthew 25, verses 32 to 36. Second Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. Revelation 20, verse 12. And last but not least is 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 14 to 18. Now, this section is kind of long because, well, there's a great hope we have in the resurrection to life that we have. And I wanted to show you all these verses that talk about it and read through them together, because I think it's important to understand the hope that we have in Christ. In 1 Corinthians 15, it talks about, Paul talked about 500 witnesses. Eyewitnesses that saw Jesus Christ alive, and he taught them for 40 days before he ascended. And they ate with him, so he wasn't just spirit. They, doubting Thomas, he put his fingers in the prints of his hands, in his side, the hole in his side. So Jesus says, well, you don't believe that I am existing, touch right here. Touch right here, the nail prints. Those nail prints for you and for me. Those prints were for us. That suffering was done for us. And that will be evident on our Savior's body in the kingdom. As he ascended in that body, he ascended bodily into heaven. And so I don't expect it would change. Now, obviously, it's going to be glorified. But those prints, those marks are still going to be there to remind us for eternity the love that he had for us. And now he calls us to pick up our own cross and follow him. That's what he calls us to suffer with him. To be long-suffering towards each other, long-suffering towards the wicked ones, that we might see them drawn to the kingdom by the Holy Ghost, convicted and drawn. And so, let's read this first section here, Isaiah 26:19-21. I'll read that. Daniel, you'll take 1 Corinthians 15. Seth, you're going to take Daniel chapter 12. Brother Josh, you're going to take Matthew 25. And Josh L., you're going to take 2 Corinthians 5:10, Revelation 20:12. And I'll remind you what those are if you need me to when we get there. Okay, Isaiah 26:19-21. Thy dead men shall live, together with my dead body shall they arise. Awake and sing, ye that dwell in dust, for thy dew is as the dew of herbs, and the earth shall cast out the dead. Come, my people, enter thou into thy chambers, and shut thy doors about thee. Hide thyself, as it were, for a little moment, until the indignation be overpassed. For behold, the Lord cometh out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. The earth also shall disclose her blood, and shall no more cover her slain. And so we're talking about the resurrection, the seventh trumpet, when Jesus returns. Those that are alive in Christ and those that are dead physically in Christ will both arise at that time to meet him in the air and then return to the earth to punish it. 1 Corinthians 15, please.
47-58.
Yes, sir. Nice and loud and clear.
The first man is of the earth, earthly. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As is the earthly, such are they also that are earthly. And is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting is death, is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord.
Good, thank you. So we see there the last trump, the seventh trumpet. That's end times teaching there. Death is swallowed up. We talk about immortality. And this is something very important to think about, that immortality is granted not just to the saints, but it's also granted to sinners. The difference is the state that that they will exist in. The sinner or the saint will exist in different places, in different states. What I mean is, one will be feeling torment and fire, and the other will have provision and blessing from the Lord forever. Something none of us deserve, but God wants to give us. Very important. Seth, please. Daniel 12.
Jesus 3.
Yes, sir.
And many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, some to shame and everlasting contempt.
Contempt?
Contempt. Those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the firmament, and those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever.
And they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. So here's speaking about those of us that would seek and save that which is lost. Well, Jesus has taught us to be fishers of men. Jesus taught us to turn the wicked to himself, turn the wicked to righteousness, turn the wicked to be cleansed. And so it's an obligation, a duty that each one of us need to understand and have in our lives. Okay, Matthew chapter 25, please.
What verses?
Verses 32 to 36.
All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them one from another, as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. He will set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then the king will say to the goats on his right hand, "Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me."
Thank you. So here we see a division of the sheep and the goats. That division's already happening through obedience or disobedience. You hear Jesus' voice tell you to do something, go give a cup of water to that person. You need to obey God's call on your life, whatever it is he wants you to do. Be obedient to the command and call of God, whatever ministry you might have, to bring him glory. Amen? 2 Corinthians 5:10. That's you, right, brother?
Yeah. "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad."
Good or bad. So here we're seeing a common denominator of evil things being punished and good things being rewarded by God at that place. But the question becomes, because within Christendom, there's this idea that we cannot boast in works. And that's true. We cannot boast in our work to be saved. I cannot say, well, you know, I haven't lied to mom and dad for 6 months, and God will count that as a good work I can get into heaven. Because I've lied dozens of times to mom and dad before that. Or I can't say, I've preached 100 times because I didn't preach all those years before that. So I can't claim something I've done to wash away my sin. Those good works that God wants us to do because of his work first will never do for our salvation. Our salvation is found in Christ at the cross. In Christ, that blood shed for each one of our sins. And if we ever deny that, God will not save us on that day. God will not say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant, because you first denied me." Jesus is Lord, he's God, he's the creator of the universe, all these concepts that he clearly teaches in the Bible, we deny those things, we've denied him, his authority. If we do that, we have no part of him, we're not listening to his voice. Okay, Revelation 20 verse 12, right?
"And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and the books were open. And another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books."
Yep. Same idea. That we will be judged by for the things we've said and done and lived out in our life. But we cannot be in the book of life without first Christ's work being done and completed in our hearts first. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 14 to 18. "For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." And so here we see the first resurrection. That's the resurrection of life. If you're part of the second resurrection, which is the resurrection unto damnation, you're in big trouble. Let me talk about the sleep thing for a minute. oftentimes the Bible, in the New Testament especially, will talk about they that are asleep. They're talking about those that are dead, physically dead. So they're sleeping. You know, people will say things like rest in peace, right? So they're resting in peace in their grave. But the Bible teaches, Jesus taught in Luke 16 about a rich man and Lazarus. We've talked about it many times in our fellowship, in a place that they're abiding until the day of judgment, until the day of the resurrection. So the resurrection will happen and pull all the saints of God out of paradise and bring them first up to join Christ in the air. Okay, and then those that are alive in Christ will join right after that, before he returns and take vengeance on the world. Okay. Second section, part 2. This covers verses 30 to 43. The title of this section is Pointing to Self or the Father. Now, obviously, in this passage, Jesus is not pointing to himself. He's pointing to the Father. But what I wanted to do is I want to share with you how we should be like Jesus and not point to ourselves either. We should never point to ourselves. We should always point to the Holy Spirit, to Jesus, or the Father, who's taught us all these things through his Word and through his Holy Spirit. Okay. Let me read the passage and then we'll cover the verses. The associated verses. Starting in verse 30. I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me. If I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. There is another that beareth witness of me, and I know that the witness which he witnesseth of me is true. You sent unto John, and here he bare witness unto the truth. But I receive not testimony from man, but these things I say, that you might be saved. He, speaking of John, was a burning and shining light. You were willing for a season to rejoice in his light. But I have a greater witness than that of John, for the works which the Father have given me to finish, the same works that I do bear witness of me that the Father has sent me. And the Father himself, which has sent me, hath borne witness of me. You have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his shape. You have not, and you have not his word abiding in you. For whom he has sent, him you believe not. Search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. And you will not come to me, that you might have life. And he is speaking to the Jews. Specifically, the religious Jews, the leadership, the Pharisees and Sadducees, because they were demanding works. He was giving works. He was raising people from the dead. He was healing leprosy. There's a passage, I believe it's in Leviticus and Deuteronomy, passages that talk about the healed lepers would have to show themselves to the priest, and the priest would proclaim them clean. And there was a place where Jesus heals 10 lepers, I think. Only one leper comes back to him and thanks him. Then he sends that leper to the priest to prove his own ministry to the people, to the Jewish people. Okay, so Matthew chapter 26, verse 39, Daniel. Seth, you have John chapter 4, verse 34. Josh G, you have John 8:14. Josh L, you have 1 John 5, 6 to 12. All right, Daniel, you ready to get started?
Yes, sir.
Matthew 26:39.
And he went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt.
Right. And so Jesus had been given a final task to finish. If you remember on the cross, he said, it is finished. And then he gave up the Holy Spirit. He gave up the Holy Spirit. and he died, physically died. There's a sacrifice for our sins. So that was the primary final work that he had to do, was die for the sins of the world. He came, he did miracles, he came to the Jews first, the Jews rejected him. They said, I've also come for another flock. Not just the Jews. He didn't just come for the Jews, he came for the Gentiles as well. He came to save the whole world. And very important that everyone understand that. Through faith in Christ, all men can be saved. John chapter 4, verse 34, Seth, please.
Yes, sir. Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work.
Mm-hmm. Do you think the will of the Father for Jesus was to sin or to resist temptation? Any ideas? Anybody want to answer that rhetorical question? Yes, ma'am.
To resist temptation.
Yeah, of course. The Bible says that Jesus was tempted in all points, yet without sin. And because he was tempted in his sarks, or in his flesh, just as we all are, and he proved that by the Holy Spirit, by the instruction of the Father, that we can resist the devils, resist temptations of the flesh and the world, and do God's will. Okay. So he said, my meat or my food is to do the will of the Father. Amen. That should be all of our desires, to do the will of God. John chapter 8, verse 14, brother, please.
Jesus answered and said to them, even if I bear witness of myself, my witness is true, for I know where I came from and where I am going, but you do not know where I came from and where I am going.
Good, thank you. So I find it funny here in this passage in the King James translation, it says, though I bear record of myself. That translation you're reading, which is what?
New King James.
New King James says witness, right? We had that issue about record and witness. Is an email or is a letter or is a birth certificate, is that a type of witness? And the answer is yes, it is. So Jesus' record is true. And what I wanted to share with you in this section is that we're out preaching the open air and talking to the lost. We'll quote a passage directly from Jesus. And we say, do you believe this? Do you believe that most people are going to fire forever? It's Matthew 7, 13 and 14. Narrow and difficult is the way it leads to life, and few find it. Few and most. Do you believe that? If you believe that, then few of us are going to enter the kingdom of God, and most of humanity, most of the people that you know in your life, are going to go to hell. Now, I don't mean right here among the saints. I mean natural family members, friends that are outside the faith. That's what I'm talking about. People that are not trusting God, which is most of humanity, are going to hell. Now, it could be our natural family members. Very serious thing. Do you believe it? And if you believe it, praise the Lord. If you don't believe it, you are an unbeliever by definition. And Jesus said in John chapter 3, because you believe not, you're condemned already. All you have to do is nothing to go to hell forever. Because you deserve it. And I deserve it. We all deserve it. But God wants to give you an inheritance in the kingdom that none of us deserve, through the grace and mercy he displayed at the suffering of the cross of Jesus Christ, his Son. Amen? Amen. Okay, so 1 John 5, 6 to 12, brother, please.
This is he who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ, not only by water, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit who bears witness, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that bear witness in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit, and these three are one. And there are three that bear witness on earth, the Spirit, the water, and the blood. These three agree as one. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, that he has testified of his Son. He who believes in the Son of God has the witness in himself. He who does not believe in God has made him a liar, because he has not believed the testimony that God has given of his Son. And this is the testimony that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life.
And of course, as you already know, Josh, that the Unitarians, non-Trinitarians, will take this and either have to cast it aside as a false record in the Bible, or somehow twist it and pervert it to try and explain their soteriology about Jesus Christ not being God, or as in oneness doctrine, he's a different mode of God, which is inexplicable according to scriptures. It's not explainable. This one passage creates great confusion from their point of view. Okay, so the three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. So the Father, obviously we know who that is. The Holy Ghost, we know who that is. But who's this, the Word? Who is that? Well, John chapter 1, verse 1. What does that say?
The Word was God.
Oh, in the beginning was the Word.
In the beginning was the Word. The Word was
God.
The Word was God.
Right. And so here, the Word, whoever that is the creator of the universe, according to John chapter 1, verse 1. In Revelation 19, it shows that when Jesus returns, I didn't put it in the teaching, but let me turn there now real quick. Because sacred namers will have a hard time with this. Revelation 19, it says, starting in verse 16, he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Nope. That's not what I'm looking for. Where is it? I'm sure it's here in 19. Anybody see it? I'm missing it?
Verse 13.
Verse 13, okay. Oh, thank you very much. Yeah, I went too far down. Okay, so go back to 11. I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. He that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. So obviously this is Jesus returning. He had a name written that no man knew but himself. And so here's another name, but it's an unknown name. He was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name, another revealed name here, is called the Word of God. So there we have the connection between John 1:1, Revelation 19, verse 14, 13, and this passage that we have in 1 John chapter 5. Okay. Section 3. And this is John chapter 5, verses 41 to 47, receiving honor from men. I'll be done here in a few minutes. John chapter 5, verses 41 to 47, receiving honor from men. Okay, starting verse 41. I received not honor from men, but I know you, that you have not the love of God in you. I am come in my Father's name, and you receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him you will receive. How can you believe which receive honor of one another and seek not the honor that comes from God only? Verse 45. Do not think that I will accuse you the Father. There is one that accuses you, even Moses, in whom you trust. For had you believed Moses, you would have believed me, for he wrote of me. But if you believe not his writings, how will you believe my words? Okay, so this section is called Receiving Honor from Men. And you want to keep in mind that Jesus is talking to his chosen people here in these passages. And so I wanted to, for the men, let's all just write down these scriptures. John chapter 3, verse 14. Genesis, and I'm going to list off a bunch of verses in Genesis. Genesis 3:15. Genesis 12:3. Genesis 18:18 and 15, excuse me. So Genesis 18:15 and Genesis 18:18. Genesis 22:18. Genesis 49:10. It is supposed by most all scholars that Moses wrote Genesis. No doubt in Christianity about that. Deuteronomy 18 verses 15 and 18. John 1:45 and Acts 26:22. And let me go back and make a correction. It wasn't Genesis 18:15. I was thinking of Deuteronomy there, but so it's only Genesis 18:18 and Deuteronomy 18:15 and 18:18. Okay, sorry about that confusion there. All right, so the first one I want to read is, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so the Son of Man must be lifted up, speaking about Jesus on the cross. And so though Moses didn't write the book of John, John's referring to something that Moses did in the wilderness to bring healing to the Hebrews. Okay, Danny, you ready? Genesis 3:15. And Seth, you're going to have 12:3 next.
And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel.
Yep, so this is enmity between Adam's race down to Jesus Christ and the seed. And the seed, or the serpent, shall bruise the head. The seed shall bruise his head, but the serpent shall bruise the heel. Meaning, the serpent will think he is getting a good thing done by crucifying Jesus, but actually it's going to crush the serpent and his work on the earth. Okay, Genesis 12:3, please, Seth.
Yes, sir. I will bless those who bless you, and will curse you. And I will curse him who curses you, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed.
Yeah. So speaking of Jesus or the Messiah, so the Messiah will bless all the families of the earth. Genesis 18:18, please, Josh G.
Since Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him.
Yeah, so the seed of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, or Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, the seed, Jesus Christ, would come through them. And that's seen in all the genealogies. I remember for many years as a lukewarm Christian, I could not figure out why are all these genealogies here. And most of the Calvary Chapel pastors would say, oh, we all know this is really boring, and they would kind of skip over the genealogies. But the genealogies are very important because they point right to Christ. They point to Christ and all the lineage that he had, the very colorful lineage, Rahab the harlot being in his lineage. So he came through these people. Okay, Genesis 49:10. Sir, yes, sir.
The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh comes, and to him shall be the obedience of the people.
Yeah, and that this translation says the gathering of the people be. Shiloh coming is Jesus returning. Deuteronomy 18:15. Oh, back to me. The Lord thy God shall raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me. Unto him ye shall hearken. Pointing to Jesus, the prophet, the king, and the priest. Daniel, verse 18:18.
I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren like unto thee, and will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him.
Mm-hmm. Yep, amen. John chapter 1, verse 45, Seth. John chapter 1, verse 45.
Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph."
Good. So here we have another confirmation in the New Testament that Moses wrote in the law about the coming Messiah. And Philip is evangelizing Nathanael with the good news that the Messiah is here. Acts chapter 26, verse 22, brother.
"Therefore, having obtained help from God, to this day I stand, witnessing both to small and great, saying no other things than those which the prophets and Moses said would come."
Again, another New Testament passage that points and confirms that Moses spoke of the Messiah to come. Okay, so in conclusion, we have three parts: resurrection of life or damnation. What is your choice? What is your state, your spiritual state right now? Are you ready to be judged this day? God forbid, if you fell down and broke your neck and died today, are you ready to face Christ in judgment? Part two, pointing to yourself or to the Father. Now, in this passage or passages, Jesus was not pointing to himself, but the one who taught him. Part three, and so neither should we, excuse me, I didn't finish that thought. Neither should we point to ourself, but point to the Holy Ghost, who was instrumental in our conversion, and who pointed to Jesus Christ for our salvation. And then Jesus points to the Father, who sent him to die for our sin. Okay, and section three, receiving honor from men. Absolutely not. We should never try and receive any honor from men. We always point to Jesus. "Oh, it's all about your ministry, brother. You're such a great teacher. You're such a great preacher, a godly man, and we honor you because this." Not that we shouldn't give honor, because there's a passage about that, to our elders, etc., teachers, giving them double honor, but always pointing to Christ. Always take it off of us and point, "Well, I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for Christ. I wouldn't be living holy. I'd be in the gutter and receiving damnation from God if it weren't for him bringing life to me these years ago." So that's the conclusion of the teaching. Any questions or feedback about those things? I kind of like this format. I think it keeps it a little bit smoother and cogent, understandable. Amen?
We can have ourselves mentioned in our testimony.
Sure, I agree with that.
Coupled with pointing to Christ, like you said, we see that by Paul, mm-hmm. ex-named Saul, mm-hmm. where he multiple times is testifying,
yep.
What he used to do, and then what God did.
Yeah, good. Thanks for pointing that out, because I think I said absolutely not. Which means we would never say anything that, but that's a good point, brother. That there's,
it's a very convincing thing that he says those things. And
right.
It makes him more believable.
Right. Yeah. And it makes us more believable too, when we're out there admitting things that we've done in our life that all sinners have done. "Wow, I'm just like that. That's what I'm still doing." But he's saying God can deliver us from that and teach us how to be holy. Oh. It's God's will for our lives. Amen. Anything else, brother? Okay. All right. Praise the Lord. That's the conclusion. Amen.